Okay, welcome to the Pirate Studios podcast once more. I'm here with Dan Davis.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing, Dan?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Worth saying, I'm actually filling in for Emma V today.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, what the hell are you doing?
The legend, that is Emma V.
Okay, the legend.
Definitely, yeah, big shoes to fill, which I won't fill, but good to be here.
Let's see. Jury's out. And that is Bishop. Hey, Bishop, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well.
Good.
Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having
me. Would you call it a show?
Yeah.
Or is it a podcast show? The pod, I sometimes say, but I kind of annoy myself when I say the pod. And I feel like people probably cringe a little bit.
It's a show.
Yeah, it's a show.
A show. Instead of us, you know, reading the bio and introducing you, what we normally do is ask a couple of quick fire questions.
Okay.
That sort of introduce the world to who you are.
Yeah.
So the first of those is pretty simple. Tell us who you are and how you got to this stage that you're at of your career.
My name is Bishop. I'm a recording artist. I sing and I songwrite for my artist project. I write for others as well. Gosh, it's always a funny question, isn't it, when you ask someone...
It's actually the worst.
How
question,
you got here?
Yeah, I like to put it right at the front.
Sometimes I feel like I'm here, and sometimes I feel like I'm not. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
I think that's fine. I mean,
well, look, put it this way: the reason I changed it around was when I used to we used to like introduce the artist, and I just butcher it every time. I get like stuck, like falling over my words.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, you know what? Let's just ask them so they can introduce themselves to the audience.
I think it's the follow-on. It's the how did you get to this stage of your career? Because asked me that, I'd be like, well, I don't know. What stage am I at?
Tell us who you are. Tell us a little about yourself. How about that? That sound good? But then I'll get back to Dad after this because I'm just dominating now.
I'm coming into like my eighth year now of recording and writing, you know, and I think the journey has been very up and down. It's kind of hard to see it, I guess. You kind of take it year by year and, you know, with different experiences. But I'm into like my eighth year now and I've released different genres and, you know, jumped on different features and things like that. And I'm still finding like exactly who I am as an artist and paving out a career. But it's, you know, it's a funny question to answer because, you know, your direction changes so much being an artist and also being a songwriter as well. I think that can really kind of change your journey. And sometimes it's quite hard to navigate both, especially when you're writing for other artists. So like the vision hasn't always been clear. Obviously I know what I love doing and I know what my favourite parts are, but there's definitely been some years where I've been sort of like songwriting based, like more focused on that. And then, you know, now I feel like 2025 is a great year for me to be like kind of focusing on artist mode. So yeah, I mean, I hope that answered your question.
I know, that was a great answer.
I mean, it's perfect.
It seems to be pretty common with artists you speak to. It's very rarely is it a linear, sort of simple journey to where they get to it. There's ebbs and flows.
Well, I think as well, you know, people that question is obviously asked a lot. It's like, how did you get to this point? You know, how did it start? And for me, you know, I think a lot has changed in like the last 10 years in the industry. So, you know, the way that I started from like, you know, writing songs and then performing them at open mic nights and then, you know, I got picked up by Universal, like that was a really sort of, I guess, quite an old school way, because I think obviously a lot of new artists now would say that, you know, they got picked up online or, you know, a video went viral, and I've kind of like lived through that whole transition.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've lived a million different lives. Yeah. I feel about 50 years old. That's how I feel.
So do I. I feel 60.
Yeah, I basically am. So, cheers, guys.
I think this question's a kind of probably a tricky one as well. But you know, for anyone who's maybe not familiar with your music, are there any kind of references or inspirations or, you know, things that influence your style that you know you would describe your kind of style as?
Yeah, I mean, It's really different. It's difficult because everyone's got a very eclectic taste now because, you know, we've got so much access to everything, basically. So I think, you know, what I grew up listening to, I'm a bit of an old soul. I do definitely go back to that stuff. I like older music. And there's definitely been a lot of influence, I guess, from, you know, maybe like the more big vocal soul driven artists, you know, like Stevie Wonder, Whitney, Mariah,
yeah,
like sort of old school, Justin Timberlake, Christina. So I listen to all that stuff, but, and I think they're probably the biggest influences. But I listen to everything, so
yeah.
I don't know. It's like I wouldn't know who to compare it to be honest. I think, you know, it's a real mix, but it's predominantly R&B pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, this is also a tough question, but, you know, if you're looking at the journey that you've been on so far, if you were to sort of project into the future, maybe, you know, 5-10 years,
yeah,
where would you want to be? You know, is it the songwriting? Is it the kind of performing? Like what does that look like for you?
Definitely. Leading with being an artist, you know, the whole reason that I started was because, I mean, the songwriting thing is a wild thing, because I know it's really crucial now if you want to be, like, I guess, kind of respected in the industry. In, you know, if you write your own stuff, it's like, that's the way.
Yeah.
So, and obviously I'm really grateful that I had that opportunity to explore it and you know, progress in songwriting. But for me, you know, the reason that I started was because I just loved performing and I loved being on stage. That was like the best part for me. You know, all the other sort of like business side and politics is the least favourite part. And I also think with time in this industry, you know, and managing your expectations and, you know, having super lows as well as, you know, like really incredible moments and just seeing how things work. I guess in like not in a pessimistic way, but the expectations and the like what you're grateful for, that kind of changes a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think when you start, you know, you're still learning in the industry, so you kind of only it seems very far away, so you only really look at like your top artists and what they're doing. But I think in a really nice way for me now, through having like very stagnant periods and not knowing how to navigate through the industry, for me it's like, you know, there's no real sort of pivotal moment for me. I just would love to create music and release music for as long as I want to. And I think, to be honest, that for me would feel like my biggest, you know, achievement, to be able to do that, because I know it's really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and of course there's things like, you know, I'd love to perform at Glastonbury and, you know, it'd be great to win a Brit Award or whatever. Like, all of that stuff is like, you know, every artist's dream, but, you know, I know that it's really hard just to be able to do this full time, you know, and I guess grow a fan base and just be able to stay consistent. So, like, that for me would be it, to be honest.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think it's a really good answer, because yeah, you're right. I mean, it is so hard just to maintain a career in the
yeah,
industry. And I think, yeah, there's something to be said for that. And as you say, yeah, the highs can always get higher, but if you're able to keep creating,
yeah,
I think with the way things are with the industry at the moment, I think it's pretty, yeah.
Well, I think that I do think that's a lot down to how much the industry has changed as well. You
yeah,
know, like, it's great for the consumer, but, you know, everything has kind of, with streaming, devalued a little bit.
Mm.
So I think, you know, 10 years ago, it may have been a bit easier to, you know, look at the bigger picture and aim for that, whatever that is, because obviously to everyone it's different. But, you know, I just think, you know, like I said before, it's hard to sustain and it's hard to be consistent. And also a lot of artists have, you know, a lot of highs,
yeah,
which, you know, maybe, you know, 10 years ago may have meant a lot more than what it does now. So I don't know. I get it's just managing your expectations, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along that journey, because I've obviously been dealing with you and your manager.
Yeah.
Adelia, yeah. Have you always had a manager? Have they come in at some point along the way? I'm just wondering, like, because there's quite a lot to navigate there that you've been doing over the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Just wondering whether, yeah, have you always had a manager, or have you sometimes been self-represented? I know this is slightly off-piste, but, you know.
Yeah, I have. I've just started working with Adelia. She works for Bass and Rebels, and my other manager, Anthony. So that's a very new thing. You know, I've had other managers. I've gone through periods of time being unmanaged. Like when I signed my first deal with Universal, I was unmanaged for like the first year of that. But it was a weird time. It was like lockdown, so like there wasn't a lot going on. I think that it's really hard to find the right team. Because everyone sees different things in you, and obviously everyone, and I think managers' job is really hard, you know, at the moment, because we have to sort of create a lot of our own success, and we have, you know, accessibility to everything ourselves. So like I do find that I do feel quite bad for managers, to be honest.
Got it. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I've been working with them for, you know, since last year, really, but properly, you know, like the last, since I started releasing again, which was October.
Okay.
And they're great. I think, I feel like for the first time, they really understand, you know, my vision, and they're really quite happy for me to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, you know, try and help me execute that.
Yeah, so important.
Yeah, it's like so really important and so overlooked as well. A lot of the time.
Absolutely. It's because we have actually got artist manager duos on the podcast previously.
Yeah.
And I was tempted to see whether Adelia could come in last minute because obviously Emma V was going to join, but she can't. So we had B Miller and her manager Jams, who works for Blood Company.
Yeah.
And yeah, look, maybe in the future we get you both in. And
for sure.
Another one. Yeah. Thank you so much for that introduction. I think we've learned a lot just from those answers. So, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, genuinely. You said you could waffle on, but I don't think that's the case. Right. So, make sure I'm on the right place here. Yeah. So over to me. How do you approach songwriting and finding inspiration for your music?
I think, you know, it changes a lot, and it really depends on the circumstances. I you know, sometimes, which is more rare, I will obviously have an idea, you know, it's usually when it's like 3 a.m. and I can't sleep or whatever, and you know, I'll like voice note it, or I'll kind of try and get, or I'll have like a sort of concept in my head, you know, or a line, I'm like, that's cool, and I'll keep that down, but, you know, and I'll take it into studio with a producer, but I think a lot of the time I like to kind of start from scratch with the producer and, you know, kind of do it that way. I always tend to start with melodies if I don't have a concept. I don't know, I just think for me that's just always the way that I've found it best to work. I generally find it quite hard to, you know, fit lyrics into a melody, so I do like to start with a melody first.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of what is inspiring to me, generally, I mean, it's quite funny because a lot of the music that, you know, has been out and is to come is, you know, it's all about heartbreak, to be honest. You know, and I think for me, I mean, it's about, I think I do generally like to write about things that aren't too far away from, you know, what I've experienced. I definitely like to, you know, if I'm going to perform something, to feel it and resonate with it. And, you know, it's just something that I find easier to write about. It kind of just flows for me because, you know, I do just think that some artists are better at writing about what they've experienced, you know, and I think a lot of people get very creative and left with stuff, but my brain just doesn't really work like that. I think, you know, I just manage to execute things that, you know, generally around love and relationships better than anything else.
Yeah. And you know what works for you. So
exactly,
yeah, why change that?
And someone's got to do it. So
yeah, well, yeah.
Might as well be me.
Yeah.
Do you find that you're kind of, you know, maybe processing things through songwriting as well? Or, you know, as you're writing, you're kind of discovering things about yourself?
100%. I think for me, it really, like, you know, it could be cliche, but it's so like therapy. And, you know, I do think that there's definitely something to be said of living and experiencing, and I do like to do that. And also, you know, I'm a creative, so I'm you know, a huge overthinker, and I like to sort of come away from a situation, and if I go into the studio, like, I do always think, for me, it's better if the dust has settled a little bit, because I can be a little bit, you know, too specific, and obviously I obviously want to protect people. I think there's something to be said, you know, when something's, it can be, I think, sometimes a little bit too raw. I think, you know, sometimes that's what the world needs, but I do like to sort of come away and be a bit more diplomatic about things. And, you know, I think when things are very prevalent, when you've had, like, experienced something that's very prevalent, it can be a little bit hard to navigate and articulate that properly when you're right amongst it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Was there a moment in time when you realized that, you know, music wasn't just something that you were, you know, listening to, but you sort of had to create yourself? Like, or is it just something that's kind of always been with you?
It's so weird because I always sang, you know, from a young age, and then there was probably like a few years where I kind of got stuck into fast-paced London life and work and, you know, having to kind of earn money and stuff like that. So it kind of got left for a while. And then, you know, again, this was before social media was like so prevalent as what it is now. And I think from like being a child, I always thought, I'd love to do that. Like, it'd be like, I don't know, it was just, again, like it seemed like a very thing, like it seemed like a thing that was really far away. But obviously, like the performing side and singing and things like that that I did when I was young, I always loved that. And then I think it wasn't until I started to put little covers online and things like that, and then, you know, I started to get into writing and started to, I guess, learn about the industry and how things worked. But I just remember, like, I was still working full time when I'd started writing and recording, and then I got signed. So, like, it was all still very much a novelty for me. Yeah. I think, like, even probably up until, like, last year, I don't know, it's a really weird thing because you're just like, oh, I'm still doing this and it's still a job. Like, it just seems, I don't know, it feels like such a privilege. Obviously, it can be really tough, but it does feel like a privilege still for me. And, you know, a lot of the time it doesn't feel like a job, so...
Do you ever find, it's interesting you mentioned that it feeling like a job, because Plastician, who we had in earlier, he spoke about, I mean, he's had a 25-year career, and he sort of spoke about that there are times where, because it's a job, it can feel like you lack inspiration, but there's pressure to create anyway.
100%.
Do you feel that? Like, do you ever feel like it's actually difficult to find that?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time, like, you definitely go through phases. Like, I remember for, like, the first 5 years, you know, which I guess is a long time, and I was in a position where I had, you know, financial freedom, like, to create. So I guess I was quite lucky. I know that not everyone experiences that. And I think, you know, obviously it's not about finances and things like that, but you have got to be able to keep your head above the water. And I think it's only during those times when you're like, because this is the only thing that I'm doing, it has to work. So that kind of does, you know, it makes it a little bit less fun, you know. And you do feel the pressure. It starts to feel serious. But I think, honestly, I think, you know, everything is so stat-based now that I think every artist will always have those moments of feeling that pressure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And I suppose tying it up with the other podcast we had today, part of what Plastician was saying, and you affirming that right now about it feeling like a job and like you got to make this music, are you taking time off when you need to as well? Because we were talking about Jaya, who's, you know, she's, what did she say? She's 25. She's had a kind of 5-year career, and she's already kind of like knowing when to take a bit of time out and relax and kind of like switch off, basically.
Yeah.
Is that something that you do?
I do. Yeah. I didn't probably until like last year. I did a good run for about 7 years where you know, because I felt so lucky to be doing it and I did love it and I had a lot to learn in what felt kind of like a short time. It's like a crash course a little bit, but I don't know, like last year I started to realise that, you know, obviously like experiencing is really important, and also like it is obviously, you know, quality over quantity. And you know, before that I was doing, you know, 4 or 5 sessions a week, and you do burn out because you know, no one can be that creative, you know, to the same standard all the time. But I generally like to just be in the studio as much as I can, because it's like, it's just an outlet for me, whether the songs are good or not. I can't be away from it for too long, unfortunately.
Good that it's your job then, I guess.
Yeah, it sends me a bit mad. And also, I've got no hobbies, so I can't break my time up at all. So I'm like, just get in the studio.
Just get down the studio, innit?
It's all I can do.
That's a hobby.
Yeah.
This is true. A hobby that lends itself to the job,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah. I need to maybe learn how to play tennis or something.
Golf?
Maybe. It's a little bit slow pace for me.
Yeah. It's also, I hate it. So I don't know why I recommend it, but yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it?
Do you play instruments in this year as well, or is it like purely singing and melody?
It is singing and melodies, yeah. I mean, it's a funny one because I do feel, you know, and it's funny because I work with, there's some producers that don't play instruments, which I think it's so fascinating, but for me it can be really frustrating that I'm not at a certain level, because sometimes I want to articulate something and I just can't because I'm not good enough. So that is definitely something that I really want to work on this year, really master, you know, a instrument so I can be self-sufficient and, you know, just get across what I need to when I'm working, especially when I'm working with other people. I'd love to be able to play on stage as well. But yeah, I mean, I can generally hear, you know, in production and chords and stuff like that, I know what I want. It's just actually trying to say that. It's like, no, that's not, no, not there. Can you go there? And they're like, that, what does that even mean? So, yeah, it's definitely something that I want to master this year.
Yeah.
Great. So you touched on social media in a previous answer, and I'll give you a bit of context behind this question now, because I saw in your bio about the quite recent TikTok, there was a viral hit on TikTok on your bio, and then also I saw separate to that, that you were with DJ AG.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa, this is some pretty awesome stuff going out on socials.
Yeah.
It was that did you change anything to make these things happen, or was it more like, yeah, you know, social media can just throw awesome things my way from time to time?
Yeah, it was literally that. I hated social media until last year,
right?
Because I was stuck on about 10k followers, and I'd been doing it for so long, and felt like I was really trying so hard to, you know, to get some sort of traction. But it's so interesting, because, you know, I don't think there's any sort of thing to follow. I think it is all just kind of fluke and luck, and, you know, obviously I put up a video, a Tevin Campbell cover, and I mean, I don't even know what viral is anymore. I think semi-viral, I'm not sure, but the parameters keep getting bigger and bigger. But yeah, I don't know, I just think I'm learning a lot as well, because obviously after that, the thing is, it's like, if you get a video that does well, especially on TikTok, because the algorithm, you know, unless you're just watching what you follow, obviously you have options to look at everything. So it kind of opens up the door for more followers and more views outside of, you know, your fan base. So it can grow really quickly, which I do like. But and also, like, you learn about what works and what doesn't. But yeah, I think it's like anything. It's like, as soon as you start having recognition and you see what you're doing is working, that's when you start to enjoy it more. But before, I hated it so much. I just found it really, really difficult.
Yeah,
but,
wow.
You know, it is, like, used correctly, it's a great tool.
Yeah. And DJ AG, just walking along the street and...
I got in there at a good time, because I tell you what, like, there's been some crazy artists on there since. And no, it was kind of like semi-planned. I got invited down to do a couple of songs. I just dropped a single. I was really nervous about it, because, you know, it isn't something that I like, you know, maybe if I saw it now, because you kind of start to have an understanding of it and who goes on there, and you know, it's a really open platform. But I was really nervous. I don't think it's something that I would have naturally gravitated to. But, you know, when I started to speak to people in my management, they were like, I think that you should do this. And I'm so glad that I did, because, you know, it was just really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Nice.
You played Great Escape.
Yes.
Last year.
Which, thanks to Pirate.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Here's the money.
And MV.
Yeah.
How was the experience for you?
It was so good. It was like it was like my first kind of festival-y experience. And yeah, I'd had like a really sort of stagnant time prior to that with performing, so it was actually a really nice thing to do.
Oh, nice.
And I really like Brighton, so
yeah,
you know, it was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we were there as well. I mean, it's funny. It's the first time I've been to Great Escape. It's quite an unusual festival, because it's very
industry based, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, there's some really great gigs.
I like
well.
That it's all different venues and stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like different sound and.
Oh, right. I actually didn't realise that. Wow, I wasn't there. So let me just clarify.
Yeah, so you were just on the beach.
Like,
where's the festival?
Waiting out front of the stage. No. Run is a loose sense of the word, to be honest. No. Is it similar in that sense that. What's that one in Liverpool that we worked in for a while? Doesn't matter. No one cares.
Sound City?
No. Sound City, maybe. Yeah. Similar to that? Similar kind of vibe?
Yeah. It's basically just like, you know, venues. I mean, the cool thing about Great Escape, I thought, was like, you know, we saw, I can't remember the name of the venue, but we saw Kneecap in like this tiny little
room. Was that last year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 2024.
Wow.
And Wonder Horse as well played that same venue. And that was cool because it's you know, you don't get to see artists like that.
No.
It's nice to discover, isn't it? I do think that is a good thing about The Great Escape, actually, is because you like that is the place to discover new artists, and everyone has just gone there because they just love music.
Yeah.
You know, they're not there to see, you know, particularly one person, or, you know, I feel like everyone's kind of on a similar playing field. Obviously, I know there's stages to it, but yeah, I think it's a good, I think it's a really great festival actually for new artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Quick question. Bori, that's our CEO.
Yeah.
Was he there for Kneecap? This is completely off tangent.
Yes.
He was, okay.
I think he was, yeah.
That would explain why he really wanted to see them at Glastonbury. He had to put me to bed that night. so he missed Kneecap. Anyway, thanks, Bori. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he actually didn't see Kneecap.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I think he wasn't there that night. So
feel even better.
Bless him, he's still not seeing them.
Indeed. Okay, up-and-coming artists. Oh, shit, is this my question or yours? Yeah, it is my question. Mm-hmm. Up-and-coming artists. Anyone you got your eye on? Yeah, no. No, God, none around these days. Huh? Bloody hell. That's bleak,
again,
isn't it?
Again, it's such a difficult question because I think, obviously, when you're an artist, I don't know, maybe this is silly, but I think, you know, again, I'm an old soul, so I tend to go back to what I know, which, obviously, I love. I think, you know, a lot of music, like older music is timeless, and I think, you know, being an artist and trying to navigate through that, I don't get to work with a lot of new artists. It's like, generally, if I'm writing, I'll be pitching, you know, they won't be in the room, which is something I actually want to change as well this year. I work with incredible producers and writers, so, like, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, in that field that I know are incredible, you know, and maybe like a bit undiscovered at the moment. But I did have a guy, one of my friends called Nick Bradley, who is a new artist. And he came to do a couple of songs at a performance I did last year. I don't actually think he's released anything yet. So I feel quite privileged because I've had some exclusives, but I just feel like, you know, he was always a writer and he started to do, we've written together and he's written some Bishop singles and he's got an incredible voice. He's an amazing songwriter. And I know that he is due to be dropping artist stuff soon. And I really can back him because I think he's incredible.
Great. Love that. Yeah. Well, we'll link to, if he hasn't released any music, we'll maybe link to, does he have an Instagram?
He does.
Yeah. We'll link to his Instagram in the show notes for this podcast.
Yeah.
Meantime, if you did want to hear about some great up and coming artists,
yes,
I would
love
a really
to.
Good podcast called the Pirate Studios Podcast, where they talk about up-and-coming artists on every single show. A little plug there on the own podcast. Does that work?
I mean,
a little loop now.
Just, yeah, like, it's fine.
Cool.
People would have to be listening.
Yeah,
to hear the plug,
that's so. True. Good point. Damn,
also, I feel like...
Hey, my mum listens.
This is a complete side note, by the way, but I feel like it's quite hard at the moment to get a real feel of artists because they're not dropping projects. And it's so difficult because it's really hard to get a real understanding of an artist. And I know how hard it is to kind of, you know, make your stamp and get your brand right and stuff because, you know, I'm doing single by single and then sometimes I won't release for a year. And it's really quite hard to get a real feel. You know, so, and I think, you know, that's pretty much the same for everyone. But I do, obviously, I'm always on Spotify Radio and I hear, you know, I'll pick up on like, the odd track from someone and you know I'll listen to it back to back, but
cool,
yeah,
nice. All right,
what's next for you? Are you working on anything in particular at the moment or any releases on the horizon that you...
Yes, releasing consistently for the first time ever, which is really nice. I've got a single out on the 7th of March. I really hope I've got that date right. It's called Brittle. So, and I think, to be honest, you know, after that, the plan is, because I've definitely got the music, is just to consecutively release, I guess, every 8 weeks or so. And, you know, kind of execute what I want to execute to the audience and grow a fan base. And, you know, performances, you know, all that stuff will hopefully come around it. I think it's hard, you know, to be put in those situations when you're not releasing consistently. So that's the plan. And just releasing music consistently and seeing what happens.
Great. Nice. And Brittle's the track that we're going to play at the end of this.
Yes.
Great. I'll get you to introduce that a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay. My favourite question. Tell us something that you love and something that you hate about Pirate. Has to be hate. And maybe start with hate first.
Hate is a strong word.
I know, that's the point.
I could maybe give some constructive criticism.
That we'll take it, won't we, Dan?
Yep.
And I was thinking about it actually on the way, because I find being an artist, we're having to do content a lot. So, and like my setup at home, and also I'm all over the place and never know where I'm going to be, is not the most aesthetically pleasing. So I would actually, I think if you guys worked on your lighting just a little bit,
ooh,
so it could be content friendly, because I would love to just book out one of the rooms for a couple of hours. And I don't know how it would be done or what it would need, but I think there's definitely a way that it could be lit in a certain way. Because I would just be in here all the time just singing and doing content, and I think it would be great.
Interesting.
I think a lot of people find it very hard to get lighting right, and I do find that in a lot of studios.
Mm. They can be dark, I think.
Yeah.
And so it gives it a sort of, it doesn't pop in the feed.
It's interesting, isn't it? Funnily enough, like the podcast studio is probably one where we've thought about making it in more like a multimedia studio. So you have like a camera here that you could use and good lighting.
Yeah.
It's funny, the lighting is usually like everyone praises the lighting, and I'm always shouting out Mikey, who's one of our other co-founders. But fuck you, Mikey, today. Take that.
Mikey, everything you knew is a lie.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't believe I just said fuck you, Mikey. Mikey's the nicest person in the world.
Sorry, Mikey, we love you.
He's also one of my best friends. We do love Mikey.
No, I think...
But no, it's a good point.
It's obviously different for everyone, but I think, you know, like, I don't know what it is about studios. There seems to be a lot of spotlighting, and maybe it's because I'm short, I don't know, but all I can ever see is my forehead.
No, it's really good feedback. We had similar in LA, but it was actually, can you guys just put a mirror in the bathroom? Because that's where we like to get glammed up. And we're like, oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's
like,
true, actually. Mirrors are always...
Mirrors too, yeah.
Yeah, mirrors are always a good...
Yeah.
We have them in dance studios, don't we? But
there's something in the vocal booth, I think. It seems like a lot of vocalists and MCs like to capture content in the booth, and it's can be quite dark.
Definitely.
There, you know,
And if there's a way you could maybe get like built-in tripods or something.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because when I forget my I do my rehearsals here at Pirate, and sometimes I won't bring my tripod, and I'm like, where do I put my phone?
Huh. Yeah. That's funny. Dan and I were searching around for a tripod for about half an hour earlier because we filmed a stish. Plastician,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So that's actually another thing we should probably write down somewhere.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I just realised we don't have the light. This light's not on for some reason. So, yeah, it's just... Yeah, we'll sort our lighting out, all right? Thanks, Bishop.
Sorry, guys.
No, that's absolutely fine.
It's good.
It's actually a new one. It's great. Like, that's the point of the question, is to we can then go away
of course,
and be like,
yeah.
Guys, fucking fix it.
Yeah.
Mikey.
The things that I love... I know that we're being specific about Pirate Studios themselves. I mean, obviously, I think that, you know, there isn't really a company that does what you guys can do. And I think as well, like, you know, it's like aside from the studios, I love, you know, the way that you guys seem to have like curated teams, and, you know, you really look after people and you want to give them, you know, opportunities. And I don't, you know, in the whole time that I've been doing this, I don't see it a lot from... you know, companies that are involved in music. I don't know, it's weird. I guess everyone's got different experiences, but I love, you know, when, like, I do all of my band rehearsals here. So I really like the fact that, you know, they're like decent sized rooms, and, you know, I can get everyone in, and yeah, I just think it's a really easy system.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. And yeah, I think we've gone through, you know, we've been going almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
We've gone through various different stages and brand strategies and whatnot. And one of the ones we're really kind of focusing in on right now is like, just let's just make this studio experience as best as it can be for everyone who comes here. Because believe it or not, there have been other directions that we've gone in.
Of course,
and, you know, and then actually the studio experience suffers a little bit, and we're getting back on top of that now. So it's great to hear that you know, it's been good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love them. I think, yeah, it's just really makes it really easy, yeah. I think, for artists.
Just sort the fucking lighting out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. we've come to the end. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to introduce the track.
Yeah.
And then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. So this is my next single. It's out on the 7th of March and it's called Brittle. I hope you enjoy it.
I'm a fire starter. Everything I touch, I burn. Always end in disaster and the tables never turn. You're so good at breaking all the things you care about. Now we're out of the patience, not turning this around. We go back and forth between love and war. Try to close the door, but come back for more. Trade my dignity for your empathy. Started out so strong to end in pieces. From beautiful to hot and cold to let it go. It's love supposed to be this brittle. From bad to worse. Who hurt her first to break this bind? It's love supposed to be this way. We all making this right.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's been that was amazing. Like, we had such a good podcast today. Yeah, good. It's great to meet you. Thank you so much for your amazing answers to the questions.
And, thank you.
Get to know you a little bit too.
Yeah.
And Daniel,
pleasure.
I called you that before in my life. But, good to see you. Bye.